are going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We are live. It is Abe Gordon and Mike Conti. It is the Full Time Report, taking a look back at what was a frustrating defeat, 2-0 to Nashville. I was just joking with Mike Conti. I do the pregame, the Full Time Report. The Five Stripes Countdown in studio and come over here. I get here somewhere between the 20 and 25th minute if Garrett isn't dragging me down a little bit too much. And it feels like every time I'm listening to you and Jason, Mike, on the drive over, we've been catching an early goal, sometimes in favor of Atlanta United, but in this case, it's Alex Moel off of a Sturridge and assist in the 5th minute. And it's just so tough after being off, especially away from home, for what I know you had the one game against Charlotte, but it feels like you played one game in 2 months is what it feels like. And for the win to just kind of be knocked out of you so immediately in this one, and they just could not really get going much at any point in the first half. I guess a little bit better in the second half, but too little too late, unable to put one in the back of the net either way, and Nashville wins this one 2-0.
Well, I think you have to give fair play to Nashville. I know there's a lot of frustration about the way Atlanta played tonight, and I agree with Jason. This is absolutely one of the worst home performances I can remember out of Atlanta United, but I think you do have to give fair play to Nashville because they were very organized defensively, and they held Atlanta. Even in the second half, when it felt like Atlanta United was starting to put some things together, some chances together, Atlanta's best chances of the game all came from outside the 18-yard box, producing comfortable saves for Joe Willis. So I think that's a testament to Nashville being very organized defensively. I agree with Jason that, you know, the cynicism with the way the Nashville played, that's very, very frustrating. And you're going to see it again pretty soon when you end up playing Philadelphia in a couple weeks. But the bottom line is this team now, we are at September 14th, and Atlanta United's below the 500 mark at home. Unthinkable. Unthinkable in the history of this club. Even in by far their worst season in 2020, at least they were somewhat competitive at home, and they were playing in empty stadiums back then. So just very frustrating, dispiriting, and a result that, as Jason said, doesn't eliminate you from the playoffs by any stretch, but it makes the road a lot harder because now what you're probably going to have to do is beat Messi, and then you're probably going to have to find a way to beat Red Bulls at least once, if not twice, and you might need another road win or two. You put yourself in a bad position, and you could say that the international break broke up Atlanta United's momentum that they earned in Charlotte, but that, in reality, I think is just an excuse.
Well, you also see what's happened to Charlotte since that game, and they had another poor performance tonight. Maybe it wasn't as much as we hoped about Atlanta, and unfortunately about what was going on with Charlotte in that one. Look, we'll get to the stats here in just a moment, but quite frankly, Nashville was able to play the game that they wanted to play.
Dictated the entire tempo, absolutely.
That's what it really boils down to, and it's interesting because we've seen a number of games here, and I guess we'll go ahead and get into it now. This statistical recap is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Health offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult health care provider of Atlanta United. You ran through it not too long ago. Shots were 10-10. Shots on goal, Atlanta United with an edge 5-3. The XG, obviously, with a heavy lean towards Nashville. Actually, for once, and I don't think I see this that often, the XG and the actual G was identical. 2 goals scored. The XG was 2 as well. And a 0.6 XG for Atlanta United. I imagine that Rios strike that hit the post probably made up most of that XG, if we're going to be honest. But the possession was 55% to Atlanta, 45% there to Nashville. It feels like in recent weeks Atlanta has not had a lot of possession, maybe due to their own formulation, maybe due to their opponents. But they did have possession in this one, but they really could not turn it into much. And quite frankly, it did not feel like, and I know you mentioned their best chances, with the exception of the one quick turnover, and Saba lays it off to Rios. With the exception of that, it all comes from outside the box. And when I think about this game, where the possession was, I mean, you're nowhere near your attacking third with most of this possession.
Right, and I also thought Matt Stade had a role in the possession as well. In fact, in the first 15 minutes of the match, 16 minutes, I think. I called out Nashville was 57-43 possession in their favor. Nashville played a lot more tactically and defensively. I think they sensed that they would be able to hit Atlanta on the counter, as they almost did a second time in the first half when they had a goal ruled out by VAR. They had a third-year goal that produced a good save by Guzan. I think it became pretty evident to B.J. Callahan that you can concede possession, hit Atlanta on the counter, and play your type of game because, as you said, Nashville was controlling the tempo. The match was just way, way too slow for Atlanta United's liking, and that's what really stood out to me more than anything. Atlanta only had eight key passes in the game, and I want to say, I took it down at halftime. In the first half, I think they only had two key passes.
That's the way it felt. Maybe they got one before I got to the stadium.
I mean, that's just not good enough. That is not good enough. So, again, I think you've got to give Nashville credit because they were able to get Atlanta to play the game on their terms. But it's so frustrating for Atlanta because
Nashville just doesn't have a team
that can impose itself right now.
This was the worst team in the Eastern Conference in terms of where the table was coming into today. Nashville was. And you're at home, coming off of a game in which you were able to pick up 3 points on the road. And I know you had the week off and all that stuff, and not all teams had the week off. So you did fall out of playoff position because of that. Now you have the game in hand, which has at the moment been wasted. When you look at what you needed to do, and at this point we're really scoreboard watching. We're really talking about seven matches, now six, that are left to be played. And you break down who's on the road, who's at home, who's above you in the standings, that you're going to be facing them in your direct schedule. This was the one that worked out in your favor. They're below you in the standings. You're at home. Everything is playing in your favor, and unfortunately, it just wasn't to be tonight. And we do have to give credit to Alex Moel with the first goal in the fifth minute. Haney Mukhtar has just not ceased to wreak havoc in this league.
And especially against Atlanta, too. I mean, he ends up scoring in Nashville after drawing a really penalty. Yeah. And again, you saw some of his tactics come to play tonight. I think Dom Dwyer would be very impressed at some of the things we saw from Haney Mukhtar tonight, but I don't want to demean him too much because he has scored twice against Atlanta this year. He's not of the quality we saw in his MVP season, but he's still crafty. And look, that second goal was a thing of beauty, by the way. I mean, fair play to Nashville again. I hate to keep giving him fair play. I'm trying to do that because I'm seething about the Atlanta performance.
If we want
right
to be petty, a lot of that work was done by Teal Bunbury.
No, it was.
And then Haney Mukhtar was the final touch.
No, it was a beautiful flick for the leave-off. No, yeah. Bunbury, who's like 90 years old.
I know. I can't believe it.
Torched you tonight. And again, like, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. I am really in knots about what I'm seeing with Atlanta United right now. I'm trying to deflect my feelings towards maybe trying to give Nashville a little bit of credit, but I'm so surprised that consistently all year Atlanta United has not been able to stand up to teams like Nashville in this stadium. Teams that will come in and will try to play cynically and will do things to frustrate you. And the Surridge Challenge in Amador at the end of the match, which Jason was so upset about. I was upset that the only visibly frustrated player about that was Brad Guzan. Yeah. Where are the other 10 guys? Someone do something.
Well, they're nine. Pedro's.
Or nine at that point. Somebody do something. There,
Of course.
Somebody do something. I agree with why Jason was so passionate about that. It just feels very lifeless.
That was the word I was going to use.
Very lifeless.
I've used a couple times
this
today.
This team is just dead inside right now. I'm not saying they've given up on the season, but they just feel so dispirited and lifeless, and there has been no indication that they're going to snap out of it. That Santos Laguna match six weeks ago was the worst match I have ever seen in this stadium. Until maybe tonight.
And arguably this one potentially mattered more over the course of the season. The real playoff standings involved. If you are hearing stadium noise in the background, that's because the Atlanta United Unified Squad is about to take on Nashville. We're going to be keeping an eye on this game, maybe call out a goal or two. I know we were promised five, so
yes.
We'll try and keep our eye and catch two or three of those, but we'll keep an eye on that. But when we come back here on the full-time report, we'll go over a couple of the highlights. We'll maybe see if Rob Valentino's ready to take to the podium. And we will
might be right now.
Looks like he's creeping around down in the bowels of the stadium getting ready. So let's real quick before he gets his first answer, who do you have at man of the match?
Well, let's go to Rob, and I'll try to come up with something.
Yeah, you got something. Coach, right, let's go ahead down to Rob Valentino.
To me, the first night, the team just couldn't do anything. Just looked like they were asleep out there. I was curious if you thought the same and if you had an explanation after 2 weeks of what seemed like good preparation as to why that happened.
I agree. Uninspiring, not a good performance. And we're going to wipe that one, and we'll move on.
And why is it that this team, it seems like the past few seasons, follows up one of its better performances, Miami earlier this year, then loses to Charlotte, then beats Charlotte last week, comes back with some of its, well, just less than performances? Why can't it put together any momentum?
And I think if we had that answer, we wouldn't be in the spot we are in. So whether it's, I'm not focused on what's happened in the past few seasons, more focusing on the present and what's happening now. But yeah, I'm at a loss for words for that tonight. I apologize to the people that watched that, and that won't be happening again. But we have to move on. I got no choice there.
Okay, well, following that up, how can you guarantee that it won't happen again?
Well, I'll make sure. I mean, only thing I can control is our preparation and how we do that. From a mentality standpoint, from a soccer standpoint, that didn't warrant that performance. We had those words in there. You're right. Maybe I can't control that. So maybe I have to give up control of that. It won't be from lack of trying.
Sure. Rob, you know, obviously a very upsetting performance for you. I'm sure the team as well.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but I guess looking at Nashville, I mean, to give the girl, what did they do, I guess, to really make it tough on the team tonight?
They played with intensity. They played from the start fast, aggressive. They played like they had something to prove. They in the first 5 minutes of the game, we didn't get out of our own half, whether it was aggression in duels or clearances. So from the first 5 minutes, you talk about, they're not really talking about a tactic there, are you? Talking about, for me, a willingness to defend or just kind of clear your boxes and then from there clear your lines. But yeah, I mean, even on the ball, they moved it well. They've made a change. Credit to BJ. He did a great job. He set this team up perfectly. He's been making progress, although they haven't won games. He's been making progress, and I warned them about that as well, that they're a different team. And they handedly beat us, and deservedly so.
Did you see like any signs in training that the team would put out a performance like this? Or?
No, this completely shocked me. This type of performance completely shocked me. It's not indicative of what this group is. And that's why it's a company line, right? Like, you move on and you got dust yourself off and you go again. That's what we have to do. And I've said it all year long that no matter if it's been high or low, good or bad, and you have to move forward. So I'll stick to that process and be as consistent as I can be and control what I can.
Rob, several injuries to some key players tonight. I know you don't know timetables or anything, but just what were the injuries to Jonde, Derek, Steon? Looked like he had some of them. He obviously was able to come back in. I can't remember. I think there was one more.
Yeah, Pedro.
Pedro, yeah.
Yeah. Jonde's, it's been something you guys asked me about him already earlier in this week about his foot. So he's been dealing with this thing in his foot for a long time. And I have not spoke to anybody from there, but whether he got kicked or whatever happened, it made it worse, and that's really what's been kind of it's been lingering all year. So we've just been managing it and trying to push him through things. Derek was cramping at the end, so, you know, with the new rule as well, like, can't have somebody down for 2 minutes or out for 2 minutes, so it made sense to make the sub and have fresh legs as well. Hopefully there's nothing there. Steon had a cut in his chin, but he went back in the game. And then Pedro got completely crushed. And I'll do a check-in and see what happens there. It wasn't a foul, but he did get knocked pretty hard.
The in the opening 5 minutes, Bunbury was open for a header on a set piece, and then Mule was left unmarked at the back post for that goal. I was curious about, without singling players out, did Nashville do something different on that set piece, or did just a player just not mark Bunbury for starters?
Yeah, I guess I'd have to look at the markers and how it was. But no, they didn't do anything different. The second phase of the ball or second phase of the set piece, and yeah, there was somebody left them unmarked. So yeah, somebody's role and responsibility, and we have to be accountable. And I'll hold my hand up to make sure that that changes, or somebody else does that job.
Doug and Sam, go ahead.
And then y'all had 2 weeks for this game, but now you've got, I guess, two sessions before Miami comes here on Wednesday. How do you, in such a short amount of time, what do you focus on with these guys?
Yeah, completely forgetting what happened tonight. The positive is that it's behind us and that we have to move forward. Taking one game at a time, there's only so much time to train now, so now it's about rest and recovery, so guys will have to recover. We'll have to assess to see where the injuries are or guys physically are feeling and put the group that's the freshest and most competitive out there to get a result on Wednesday.
Obvious frustration there in the voice of Rob Valentino and Mike before we hit a break. It quite frankly, it sounds like he might have had it out at the team. I don't know if that's how you took it, but that's...
Well, it certainly was not a coach doing anything to protect his team or players. He was correctly throwing the accountability directly on them, and at one point even offering that he might not be the guy who can get this turned around, which I think was a comment made more out of frustration.
Yeah, of course.
I would just say this. I think if you've watched some of the social media digital content that the team has put out where you've seen some of the team talks that Rob Valentino has had in post-game situations with his team this year. Rob definitely tries to hold his team accountable while also maintaining the balance of not trying to kill his team. That sounded very much like a coach who, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it sounded very much like a coach who is not getting a response from his players.
Yeah, and it's tough because sometimes throughout the week, maybe you can get a feeling. You don't want to have that feeling, but maybe you get a feeling that a performance like that is coming. And it didn't sound like that was the case for Valentino throughout the course of the week or certainly post-game today. It sounded like this caught him completely off guard, and there just wasn't much to answer for, to be honest. It is the full-time report here live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and Mike Conti on the aftermath of a 2-0 Nashville victory. We'll check in with the scores around the league as we go throughout the night and see how much not only this loss for Atlanta hurt their chances to get into the playoffs, and certainly it's nothing is gone because there's plenty of time, plenty of games left, and plenty of points still to be had. But we will look around the rest of the league and see maybe what the impact is for other games throughout the evening. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back live to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and Mike Connie here on the full-time report. We are enjoying the Atlanta United Unified against Nashville Unified match. I believe it is still scoreless, but certainly Atlanta looks to have had the better of the play thus far. But we will keep you updated as the Unified squad looks to move to 3-0 after some wins. What was in LA a couple weeks ago, and then previously I think in Nashville was the other victory. So we'll keep an eye on that, but certainly if you'd I guess you can check out ATLUTD/live. You got our friends Jason Longshore and Matty Cruz on the call if you are more invested in that game than hearing Mike and myself talk about this 2-0 defeat. It feels sad to say here, Mike, the highlight of this game
might have been seeing Ronald Acuna here in Atlanta drive the spike.
I was a little surprised by that, too.
I didn't know when he was going to leave L.A. and come back.
Yeah.
And I get. Yeah, you're right. There's no way he made it. They were still playing, right?
No.
So he was just here.
He shouldn't have to go
to every game.
No, I agree with that. It was really cool to see him here. You're right.
He'll go to the game when his brother's in town with the Mets in a couple weeks. So we'll figure that out.
Exactly.
Real quick, before we get to the highlights, Mike, who are we divvying out our man of the match to?
Yeah, tough choice. I mean, it was just such a poor performance by the entire team tonight. I do think Daniel Rios did a good job, especially early in the second half, of getting himself into some dangerous spots. I think his work rate was good. I thought you saw a little bit of emotion, a little bit of energy out of him on a night where, again, the team was flat and listless. So just on the basis of having that type of emotion and energy, I would give it to Daniel Rios. Honorable mention is someone who I think has been struggling a lot lately but played well as a sub tonight, Tristan Moyamba.
That is the second man of the match for Daniel Rios on the season. His previous one was the road loss at Real Salt Lake. So he joins Caleb Wiley, Giakoumakis, Almada. There's a bunch of guys that aren't even playing anymore with two. Brad Guzan has three, and Sabaloob Janidze has four. That's your season-long man-of-the-match race, in case you were wondering. All right, let's take a listen back to exactly how this thing turned into a 2-0 defeat. These highlights are brought to you by SCANA. For over 20 years, SCANA Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And unfortunately for Atlanta, it got started pretty early in this one. I was still riding over here from the Kia Studios, but it's Alex Moel in the fifth minute.
Wheel in a duel while the touchline, pass Lennon to the left end line, dribbles into the box, wheels cross, bounces to the top of the 18, trapped by Moore. He'll take it to the right end line. Here's another cross to the back post, popped up in the air, and then a volley, score! Alex Wheel. Nashville punishes Atlanta United for not being able to clear, and in the fifth minute, it's 1-0 to Nashville.
Sturridge contributed the assist on that one, and then we played at 1-0 for 70-plus minutes or so, if you include the first half stoppage time, but it was the 76th minute would put this one away after they go up 2-0. It's Haney Mukhtar.
Williams pitching over the top, seeing Moranchuk. He heads it to the penalty spot where it is blocked away by Zimmerman in front of Moyamba. Nifty play by Moranchuk, but it didn't come off. Left to right counter, Nashville. Here's Mukhtar coming down the right wing, 1v3. Mukhtar to the corner of the 18, ahead to Bunbury in the box. Backheel to Mukhtar, walks in and shoots and scores. Oh, was that pretty. A pretty team goal by Nashville, who takes the 2-0 lead in the 76th minute.
I believe if I had to guess, maybe the highlight for Atlanta, all jokes aside with the Acuna stuff, was probably midway through the second half. Saba caught a break, had a layoff to Daniel Rios, and unfortunately couldn't sneak it inside the near post. It did hit the post. He had the keeper beaten, but did not go in. It stayed out, and that was about as close as they came. I mean, you have an XG of 0.6. There's just not a lot of opportunities to find highlights for Atlanta.
No, I mean, that chance aside, your best chances really came from shots taken outside the 18, accounting for the 0.6 XG and only 8 key passes when you really would expect to be in double digits. Again, just a lifeless, listless, tepid performance by Atlanta United in their home stadium. You could understand maybe something like that happening on the road against a team that's going to play tactically in maybe a quiet stadium. Here at Mercedes-Benz, where you have lost more than you have won this year, it just continues to baffle me. And again, hearing Rob Valentino in his very frustrated post-match press conference, I think it's frustrating him as well. And Gonzalo Pineda couldn't figure it out, and Rob, unfortunately, has not been able to figure it out either. It's a huge mystery because you have assembled a team that I do think has some talent, but this is a team right now, Abe, that looks to me that just has absolutely zero chemistry. And that comes after you had 2 weeks on the training ground, granted with a player or two
right.
out on international duty and maybe a couple other players tending to some minor wounds and injuries. But this did not look like an Atlanta United team that came off 2 weeks of training. This looked like an Atlanta United team at times tonight that had never played before.
What gets under my skin the most about, not tonight, but the season in whole, is the lack of predictability. You just don't know when it's going to be a strong performance that you're ranting and raving about, whether home or away, you never know. Or when they come here and lay a complete egg. And they just never found a rhythm of consistency, not even just chemistry, but consistency week in, week out, or match day in, match day out. I don't know what this team is.
I'll tell you
or
one
has
thing.
Been.
I'll tell you one thing I know they are.
What's that?
One thing they've done incredibly consistently this year.
Uh-oh.
Which is play up or down to the level of their opponent. I mean, this is the same team that,
and by the way,
beat a full-strength Miami 3-1 on the road. They beat Columbus here. They darn near played Columbus evenly in the season opener. But then this is a team that can't score goals against Chicago.
Right.
And a team that did not beat Nashville in two tries this year. A team that lost to Montreal. A team that got that lost in Leagues Cup to D.C.
Here's
narrowly.
The problem with playing up and playing down.
Yeah.
There's a lot more bad teams in the Eastern Conference than there are good teams. And to me, that tells me that you've played the majority of those games at a lower level than stepping up. That's the way I view it. Well, I don't disagree with the comment, but I don't view it as a positive either.
It can't be a positive. You're in 10th place. But you beat Miami. You had two good you really blew it against Cincinnati in one. You played well against them on the road in the other. You split against Columbus. You haven't played Red Bulls yet. Orlando, totally different team now than they were in March when you beat them. New York City, you got two draws and you blew it in one of them. Charlotte, you split. Toronto, you split. You got lucky winning one of them. D.C., you played three times and split the league games and then had essentially a draw in Leagues Cup. I'm just going down the table here. Philadelphia, you've played once. You have the draw. But then, Montreal, you lose. Chicago, you couldn't score on them in Chicago. Nashville, you lose one and draw one. In New England, you were never in it up there in Foxborough on the 3rd of July. So that, to me, is the consistency of Atlanta United this year, playing up and down to the level of their competition. Why that has happened? I wish I knew.
Yeah, and unfortunately that has put them out of the playoff line. And when we come back here on the full-time report, we will look at the live table, the matches that were played today that involved the teams a couple of spots ahead of Atlanta, but also all of the squads that are below and behind Atlanta. We'll take a live look at where exactly United is, and throughout the rest of the show we'll also discuss maybe what needs to be done over the next six games here, the final six games, including a very quick turnaround, a home match on Wednesday against Inter Miami. It's Abe Gordon. It is Mike Connie. It is a 2-0 Nashville victory. Atlanta United gives up all 3 points at home. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full-time!
This is the full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and Mike Connie here on the full-time report. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $12,000. We've already heard from Rob Valentino after the game at the podium. We'd like to also check in with Atlanta United center back Derek Williams, who was able to catch up with a couple of members of the media after tonight's 2-0 defeat.
And I'm not trying to pile on in the situation, but that opening 9 minutes, was that one of the worst stretches you can remember the team playing this season?
Yeah, especially at the bends, I think. Small things. We miss a tackle in the midfield, a 50-50. Derby game. it's perfect to really win it and get the crowd up. We lose that, they win it, they're on the front foot, and small details like that swing momentums, and it kind of sets the tone of the game. So from the minute one, we lost our tackles, lost a 1-on-1, they crossed the ball. So yeah, it's poor.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
Derek, you know, Rob talked about in the locker or in the press conference, you know, this game was out of your mind. I guess how the team do that and just really move forward on Wednesday?
I definitely won't get it out of my mind. I don't think we should. I think we should. It should hurt us, and it should show how hard we have to work if we want to be successful. Against Charlotte, it showed we do the hard work, we do the hard yards, every single one of us, and we get results. That wasn't the case tonight.
Well, there you have it. I mean, just more frustration. And look, I don't expect him, but another guy that doesn't seem to have any answers. And how could you after the performance tonight? I've been using the term lifeless all day, if we're going to be honest, not referring to myself or my dog Chipper, but I was watching some college football, quite frankly, earlier on, and like Memphis is rolling over Florida State, and I was like, Florida State looks lifeless, and they eventually found a pulse and tried to get back into it, but unable to at the end, but you know, you couldn't even find the pulse, really, for Atlanta, and it's different, obviously, in American football and soccer. It has to come from a goal to get that pulse, and they're not necessarily easy to come by, but really just, again, just an XG of 0.6, and it, with the exception of the one that hit the post, it really didn't feel like one was coming, didn't feel like there were a ton of chances, and so Nashville is able to get the 2-0 win here, and this was a bad loss for Atlanta United for a number of different reasons. Obviously, the performance on the field notwithstanding, but You look at where you are in the table, where you could have been, and the schedule that you have coming up. This is probably one of your easier situations in terms of home versus road and opponent, and you were not able to pull any points in this one. And so a live look at the table, and I'm waiting for this one more game to go final, but I don't think it'll change. It's in stoppage time between Chicago and Red Bulls. We'll get into it in a moment. But you are still in 10th place. You are still right there in touch with DC United. They have played today, and they drew NYCFC 1-1. So they are sitting on 33 points. This is in the ninth spot. 33 points from 29 matches played. You are right there, 31 points, but you have a game in hand in 28 matches played. And so that's the team right above you. The bigger concern are there are two teams now right below you, Philadelphia and Montreal, who are even on games. You do not have a game in hand on them, and so you're going to have to match or exceed whatever their results are the rest of the way just to stay above them, much less worry about what's ahead of you. And quite frankly, tonight didn't go great when you look at the results around the league that maybe you were invested in. We wanted NYCFC to beat DC United. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's a draw, but a point gets picked up. Inter Miami did help you out. They beat Philly Union 3-1. You were rooting for Charlotte either to win or catch a draw there. It's actually Montreal who catches the draw now. They're now creeped up to right behind you, 1 point back. Orlando City helped you out. They took care of New England. The one that really hurt you is Austin FC at Toronto, and Toronto now on 36 points because they were able to win this one at home 2-1. And then as soon as it goes final, like I said, final dying minutes. But the Chicago Fire is up right now at home over the New York Red Bulls. It would have been beneficial for Red Bulls to beat Chicago. But again, when you look at the standings, Chicago is behind you, even if you add in the 3 points. So it's more an opportunity you maybe had to jump up in the standings with this one. You didn't really fall behind, but that's now one more match day gone.
Yeah, a wasted opportunity.
A wasted opportunity, and you're starting to run out of them. There's still plenty left, but again, you deal with squads like Inter Miami who, with or without Lionel Messi, have been very good. You're going to have to play the Red Bulls twice, once there, once here. Orlando City's above you as well. And now you look at that match with Philadelphia. You look at that match with Montreal. Those are the two teams right behind you by 1 point. Philly's on the road, Montreal here in Atlanta. I mean, if tonight wasn't a must-win, those two certainly have become that, because you're going to try and find minimum, it may be, if everything works out in your favor, minimum 3 wins, but probably more likely 4.
Yeah, I mean, we've been looking, Jason and I, at 43 points as the number that if you get there, you're probably going to be safely top 9. If you get to 43 points, you're on 31 right now. Obviously, you need 12 more. You're going to have to find a way to get that in 6 matches. So you got to win 4 of your final 6 matches. They're at barely over a point per match this season. So they have not played at a pace that makes you think they are even remotely capable of getting that. But just to kind of game scenario it out, if you win your home matches against Montreal and New York Red Bulls, that gets you halfway there in the points you need. This is what you're going to have to do. You're going to and by the way, that's not going to be easy. I mean, the Red Bulls have been very good this year. They're probably going to host a first-round playoff series or have home field advantage. They're on 43 points. So that won't be easy at all to get a home win against Red Bulls. And we've talked about Atlanta United's a tendency to play down to the level of their opponents this year, so even watch out with Montreal. But let's say, just best-case scenario, you're able to win those 2 matches, Abe, and those matches will be played in a week span, the first week of October. You still then need to find 2 more wins out of Miami at home, Red Bulls on the road, Philadelphia on the road. You haven't won there since 2019. And at Orlando on decision day, and there's nothing the Lions are going to want to do more than keep Atlanta out of the playoffs. Can you find 12 points out of that? Yeah, you control your own destiny to do so. It is possible. But I would much rather be in a situation where you only needed to find 9 points out of those matches as opposed to 12.
Of course, obviously you're referring to the potential of what could have been today.
Yes.
That certainly slipped through
and
the fingers.
Make no mistake, Atlanta United looks like they could miss the playoffs this year. If they miss the playoffs, it's not because they couldn't find a way to beat Cincinnati or they couldn't find a way to beat LA Galaxy and Real Salt Lake.
Right.
It's losing at home to Nashville. It's losing at home to Charlotte. Not beating Houston at home.
Letting DC United score 3 goals the exact same way doesn't help.
With Benteke, absolutely. Yeah. Those are the matches that are going to keep Atlanta, blowing a 2-goal lead to Philadelphia. Those are the matches that are going to keep Atlanta out of the playoffs, not their inability to beat Cincinnati or, New York City or some of the other teams above them on the table in either conference.
It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Mike Conti here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. When we get back in about 5 minutes, I want to ask you about Alexi Maranchuk. Tonight was his home debut. We'll talk about his performance and maybe a couple of other things that potentially could change moving forward based on what we saw tonight. Atlanta United falls at home to Nashville 2-0. The Full-Time Report continues in 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and Mike Conti here, the Full-Time Report, as we discuss a 2-0 Nashville win over Atlanta United tonight. Atlanta United drops an opportunity to move up the table there. Would have jumped a couple teams if they had been able to pick up 3 points, but was not the case tonight. That was the case 2 weeks ago, Mike, in Charlotte. A 1-0 win in which Jay Fortune scored his first team goal for Atlanta United. But that was also a game where we saw Alexi Maranchuk's first start for Atlanta United. And I saw a lot of promising things in that outing for him. Tough to say, but I don't know if I saw those same things today. The impact was a little bit less than it was in that one. I just wanted to gauge you and maybe get your thoughts and what you saw from Alexi Maranchuk tonight.
I don't always trust my eye test because I'll admit, even 7 years into this, I'm by far not an expert analyst on what I see on the pitch. I'm just trying to tell people what's happening. So I go to SofaScore a lot because I do trust their player ratings, and I think they look at it from a pretty neutral perspective. And SofaScore agrees with you. They gave Maranchuk a 7.0 rating in Charlotte. They took him down just a little bit tonight to 6.9. He's averaged a 6.9 rating on the three matches he's played for Atlanta United this year. That's fair to, yeah, kind of good. Like, fair to kind of good. I think you can see Alexei has quality. I think you see there's a lot of potential still to be unlocked there. I think you've seen moments where it can get there. But to your point, he has not been impactful and was certainly not impactful tonight. For example, he passed on the season. He's passing at 80%. Not bad. In three appearances, he has totaled 0.5 expected assists. You have no goal-scoring contributions in your three matches. But keep in mind now, in the last four competitions Atlanta United has played, they have one goal from outside the 18 scored by Jay Fortune against Charlotte. So I don't know how much of that you hold Maranchuk accountable for. I do think it will get better. I think you see he has flashes of class. But as Jason said during the game broadcast, he has absolutely no chemistry whatsoever with anyone else on this team.
I want to focus on that because I think we talk a lot about, well, this many training sessions, they had a week off in developing chemistry and doing what you can. But here's the other aspect that maybe we don't consider enough. As a newbie to the MLS, he also has to learn the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to learn the teams and how they play. And yet maybe we can tell him, and not you and me, but the coaching staff can prepare him and say, this is how they're going to try and do this. This is what they're going to look to do. But until you experience it, until you see it, until you make your first runs around the league, everything is new. And it's not just about connecting with his teammates. It's also knowing what to expect from your opponent. And that certainly is going to be a stage of development for him as well.
Only so much you can simulate on the training ground. But I did think Rob Valentino was very smart. Yesterday, he wanted his team to train here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and specifically for Maranchuk's benefit, because he had not even been on this turf before.
Right.
So he wanted Maranchuk to get acclimated to the stadium and the turf. And I think, again, when you hear Rob Valentino so frustrated after the match, you know, that seems like a pretty savvy move to have his team train here, with that being the intent to get Maranchuk a little more acclimated. And again, something Rob attempted did not work. Everything he's trying right now is not working.
Well, the good news is you don't have to wait long to try. Maybe that's bad news. We'll find out on Wednesday. But when we come back here on the Full Time Report, we'll get you set up for a match with Inter Miami, one here at home that certainly is going to be front and center if Atlanta United is going to try and make a run in the final six games back in the playoff position. So when we come back here on the Full Time Report, we'll break down Wednesday's match on the other side.
Ooh, Unified
Radio.
Golasso.
That was a golasso. Unified.
That was a golasso. Is that our guy for the pregame show?
I only was listening. I didn't see who y'all
Man,
were with.
Man, left upper 90, just a rocket. So Unified's got the one. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, hey, look.
That's the highlight of the night by far in this stadium. That was a golasso.
So we've got
Unified.
Tonight's Unified goal. Nice little cutback pass.
Yeah.
Drilled. By the way, Bang. That's a lefty strike on
yeah.
that one. Right there into the net. We've got the Unified goal is number one. We've got Acuna hitting the spike at number two. And I guess Rios hitting the post at number three. Those are your highlights tonight for Atlanta United. We'll see what sort of highlights we can deliver on Wednesday against Inter Miami. We'll talk about that game on the other side on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Back with more Full Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back into the Full Time Report. Final couple of moments here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Abe Gordon and Mike Conte. We went to break a joyous celebration after Atlanta United's Unified squad took a 1-0 lead over Nashville, but that has been equalized. It was a short-lived advantage, just a couple of moments, and now Nashville actually has a breakaway. We could see if they're able to take the lead here or not.
Yep.
Looks like it went a little Meg, nutmeg action on the keeper. Very good finish, if we're going to be honest. Very nice.
Very good finish. Number 50 on Nashville. I don't have their roster, but they've after Xavier Harrison had that golazo for Atlanta United. Nashville's come back here with 5 minutes to play. They really should be booked for this celebration, the roll of the boat celebration, but the referee will probably show leniency. But Atlanta United's unified team now trailing Nashville 2-1 with about 5 minutes to play.
I've watched two-man crew, eight-man skull. That's a big boat.
That's right.
It's a pretty full boat, if we're going to be honest.
Don't see that in the Olympics too much.
No, not quite. Coming up on Wednesday, midweek action, Atlanta United is going to host Inter Miami. And, of course, there's a question about a couple of players there for Inter Miami and whether or not they will play or not in this one. I do want to let everyone know that Lionel Messi did return to action finally after dealing with a lengthy injury. He didn't seem to be too rusty. Two goals and an assist
Amazing.
In 90 minutes played here.
Amazing.
For a number of reasons, it's pretty amazing. And Inter Miami, as we mentioned earlier, picked up a 3-1 win. So he contributed on all three goals there at home against the Philadelphia Union. We know a couple of things, right? We know the, let's say, the unfavorable mindsets towards having him on turf all the time. And so that kind of comes into play as well. Just returning from injury, I did not expect him to go 90 today, but he did. And so we'll see what the impact is there on midweek. But look, in the games that he was not, while he was out injured, Inter Miami was very formidable. Obviously, the first team to clinch a playoff berth. They're the one seed right now in the Eastern Conference. I'd have to go look at the full standings to see if they're still the Supporter Shield right now or not. You say they are, so I'll take your word for it. But look, an opportunity on Wednesday to get right back at this thing, and if what you said a couple of segments ago is true, maybe a little bit of reason for optimism. Atlanta United certainly played down to an opponent today. Maybe they can play up to one on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, again, down in Miami in late May, Atlanta United beat Messi 3-1. Messi had the goal for Miami, but Atlanta United dominated that match. They also had Thiago Almada, and they don't have him now. But can Atlanta United play up to the level of their competition, and how much is Messi going to play, if at all? The whole thing about the turf, I think that's a little bit of a canard. He has played on artificial turf. I think the bigger issue, Abe, is having played 90 tonight.
Yeah.
Do you bring him back on the road and expect him to play 90 again on such a short turnaround coming off an injury? I don't see Tata Martino rolling the dice like that. I think Messi will be in the building. I hope he'll play. I think there's maybe a decent chance he'll play, but maybe as a sub. That all said, whatever gives Atlanta United the best chance to earn 3 points is what I'm fully in favor of. And you're right, they were very good without Messi when he was injured, but I don't think there's any doubt. He's still one of the best players in the world. If Messi is unable to start or play in that match, I don't think the 11 players on the pitch for Atlanta United will be sad to see that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll also be paying attention midweek and throughout the week on a number of injuries that were picked up by Atlanta United. I know Ronald Hernandez was out already.
Well, and careful ankle. Now because you've lost Pedro Amador possibly
right.
as well, and Jason brought that up. You're out of fullbacks right now. Matthew Edwards is sick, so you hope maybe you can get him back, but boy.
Five? Bring in Cobb.
I think it's got to be under discussion because, if Miami is going
Isn't that what they did last time in Miami? Didn't they have five in the...
They did, and that was...
I'm just remembering that
That
now.
Was a formation change that Gonzalo Pineda made and was largely credited for.
Did not work the next game. I do recall that as well.
Well, you also had a terrible VAR decision go again. Oh, wow, Unified equalizes on a chip.
How deep
from
was that?
Outside the... way outside the 18. With about a minute to play, so go over to Jason and Maddie on atlutd.com/live for the exciting conclusion of that. I apologize again for getting off track.
I waited to see that. Like, my goodness.
90 hideous minutes of Major League Soccer tonight. The Unified match has been far more entertaining. But, yes, you did go to three in the back in Miami, and you might have to do that again, A, because you're out of fullbacks, but also you're going to want 3 Atlanta against Suarez and Messi.
That's right. That was the premise, right?
So that I think would be the idea, especially if you don't have Amador. And look, you saw Luis Abram, even in limited work tonight, his ability to get forward where things get really tricky. Derek Williams, Rob Valentino said that was a cramp. But if Derek Williams is also out, now you're putting Noah Cobb in a position that I think he's ready for. But I would look for Miami to attack him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. This is a game that will be kicking off at 7:30 on Wednesday evening right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That means the Five Stripes Countdown. Myself and Garrett Chapman will have it for you at 6:30 on Wednesday evening. And as we've discussed, Atlanta United currently in 10th position right now with 6 matches remaining. And so they're going to try and have to find some points somewhere. And their next opportunity is going to be Wednesday at home, potentially against the greatest of all time in Lionel Messi. That is going to do it here on the Full Time Report. I want to thank Mike Conney and Jason Longshore both for the call of the game, but also for sticking around here post-game with me, Mike. Back in studio, Dom Cherosky getting it done. And here our on-site engineer, Kramer, as always. I am Abe Gordon. We'll be back with you at 6:30 on Wednesday for pre-match action, Atlanta United and Inter-Miami, a game that will be played right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and you'll be able to hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.